cameras in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a goon?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches. Good morning, USA.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne will be here in a second. It's Thursday!
All day.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Thursday. The weekend is almost here. We got a special guest. I'm excited about this guest. Okay. A lot of talk about this guest.
Yes.
Nate Parker will be joining us today.
Because The Birth of a Nation actually comes out tonight at midnight.
Midnight tonight. That's right.
We also have his book, The Birth of a Nation, Nat Turner and the Making of a Movement, edited by Nate Parker. Ooh. It's a tie-in to the movie.
Right, that he just
said. Autographed to us.
Right.
Ahead of time. So,
I'm excited about this movie. My parents are actually excited as well. A lot of people are talking about this movie, want to see the movie Birth of a Nation. I want to check it out. I'm going to be in Boston tonight, so I'm going to try to find... Well, I don't think they have it at midnight in Boston, maybe, but I'm going to try to find a place that has it. I'm going to take maybe 20... listeners, 20 people that follow me on Instagram, Snapchat, and I'll just pay for them, and we'll just all watch it together. I'm excited about this one.
So is it like you do like a family of four? Like, how do you pick?
20 people who hit me. The first 20 people that hit me, tell you, meet me at whatever movie theater, and I'll just pay for it.
Should they start hitting you now?
No.
I'm just wondering, how does this work?
I got to find a place first. I got to find some place that's actually
showing
movie.
Like, why can't
they
hit you now, and then you tell them the place?
We can do it later on when I find out where it's playing. I don't want to say, all right, now, no. We'll find a movie theater. Let's say it's the Lowe's at so-and-so place. I'll say the first.
So you're going to pre-buy the tickets before you tell people?
Absolutely.
You should start looking now.
I am. Well, not now, but after the show.
I think the movie theater knows if they're showing it.
Right. But we'll do that later. I'm excited to see the movie. You've seen the movie
already. I saw it
already. Charlamagne's seen it already. I haven't seen it as of yet.
Yeah, Now, Envy, I know both you and I cry a lot during movies.
We don't cry a lot. Don't stop saying I cry a lot.
It's okay, I
teared one time.
During Creed,
I teared.
This is definitely 1,000 times more teary than Creed.
So I'm probably going to cry.
Anja, please take a selfie when it happens.
And it was more than just the Creed movie. It was late. We were on an airplane.
You just made it sound like we were on a flight. We weren't even sitting next to each other. I was sitting in a whole nother across the row.
We were high in the air. It was more than just Creed. I was high. We were up in the air high, you know.
I wasn't high.
So it was more than just the movie.
I don't know what drugs you were taking, but I wasn't high.
Meaning the airplane was high. We were high in the air.
Well, yes, it's an airplane, Emmy.
Right. But that had something to do with
goodness.
It. I didn't just cry because I seen Creed.
Sky.
I was like, oh, my God, Creed.
So you're saying the altitude has something to do with it.
The altitude. Yeah, and then I was hungry. It was a lot. It was more than just.
You cry when you're hungry.
It was more than just I cried because I seen Creed.
So every time you take a flight, you cry.
If I see a sad movie, yes.
I'm just confused. All right. But it is a great movie, and Nate Parker will be joining us this morning, so we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do recommend that everybody see it because it's a story that doesn't get told too often.
Right. Yes.
I think it took place in like the 1830s.
Yep.
All right.
I'm excited about this. Now, we got front page news next. What are we talking about?
Oh, man. We'll talk about Hurricane Matthew. It's in the Bahamas right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you what happened. And it's on its way here to the United States. So we'll tell you where you got to be really careful if you live in these places. A lot of flights were canceled even today. So make sure if you're planning to fly, you go ahead and check that out. Also, Samsung, more issues with these phones overheating.
The same one?
They're saying this is a little different. I'll tell you what happened.
Okay, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Here's Drake. It's One Dance. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, in sports, the Giants beat the Mets 3-0 in a wild card game to advance to the divisional round. It was actually the ninth inning.
Listen,
it was a scoreless game to the ninth inning, and then the Giants actually won.
I hate baseball because it's so damn boring. I didn't know that they do one-game eliminations.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
For a wild card
Very
spot.
Boring sport. It was very exciting when everybody used to be on steroids and performance-enhancing drugs.
Did you really watch it back then?
Yes, I did. I was actually an Atlanta Braves fan. This is back in the day when they had that great pitching staff of like Tom Glavine and John Smoltz and David Justice used to play for them.
You're the type of person that seemed like you had a lot of baseball cards back then, too.
I used to have a lot of baseball cards because I realized how much money you could make collecting cards.
I did, too.
Because, you know, when you used to get those trading card books and you see that those cards are worth mad money. Like, I saw a LeBron James card, rookie card, is worth like $300,000 now.
Mm-hmm.
Just that was only, what, 12 years ago?
That's 12 years ago.
Somebody got that card.
Yeah, my son has all those cards.
Well,
I was reading the story about Brooks Marlowe. He was trying to, he was a prospect for the Houston Astros. And you saw that tweet he put out?
No.
He tweeted, "No lady needs to be on ESPN talking during a baseball game, especially Mendoza. Sorry."
Oh.
What's that mean?
Why would you? He's trying to say no woman needs to be talking about baseball.
I don't think nobody should be talking about baseball.
No,
it's just that boring.
Stop it.
He deleted the tweet, but still everybody's seen it. So I don't know about this guy.
He gonna say he got
crazy.
Hacked.
All right, I'm bored with this conversation. Too much baseball talk.
All right, well, in Thursday Night Football, the Cardinals play the 49ers. Now let's talk about Hurricane Matthew.
Yes, Hurricane Matthew is in the Bahamas right now, battering parts of the Bahamas. It landed there early this morning. They're saying it will intensify. It's going towards Florida's coast right now, which means mass evacuations. A lot of people have been told to evacuate in Florida and in South Carolina. So what they are saying now is if you are told to evacuate, please leave. You can leave now. Get out of there now. If you're able to leave early, just go. Mm-hmm. We can rebuild your home. We can rebuild your business. We cannot rebuild your life.
Sure. Yeah, salute to all my people in the 843, all my family in the 843. It says it's going to be a Category 2 by the time it hits South Carolina, though.
Well, they're saying it's still very powerful, still very dangerous hurricane. There's going to be a lot of storm surge, flooding, and high winds, so be careful. Officials in Haiti did raise the death toll to 10.
Yeah.
They say that number is expecting to further increase as they reach some remote areas. And the storm also had hit Jamaica, the Dominican Republic, and Cuba.
That's super duper sad.
So if you're told to evacuate, please.
Yeah, get out.
We would rather you live than stay behind.
Yeah, we can replace your home.
A lot of people feel like you can ride out the storm.
No.
Yeah, I've had to evacuate from a couple hurricanes in my day.
Did you?
Yeah, Hugo, and there was another one. I can't remember the other one's name.
All right.
Yeah.
Was everything all right with the house or no?
Let me see. When Hugo hit, we used to live in a mobile home trailer. We didn't. Yeah, the trailer didn't get messed up. Not like other people's houses next to us or other people's trailers next to us.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, now let's talk about Samsung.
Right, well, more issues with Samsung. Now, there was another overheating, smoking Samsung smartphone, and that caused a Southwest Airlines jet to land. They were about to take off from the Louisville airport. It's the new Galaxy Note 7. Remember they recalled that device last month because of overheating?
Yeah, they said only like 15% of the people actually traded their phone in or something like that,
right? Well, this person did trade their phone in and got a replacement. And unfortunately, now this replacement for his recalled phone still has issues. Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do about this, but there looks like there's still some problems.
I ain't going to front, man. Yesterday, you know, I never, ever, ever pay my full phone bill because that's just not what I feel like a real man should do. I feel like anybody that's worth their salt, man or woman, should only pay the past due amount.
Mm.
Okay?
And they complain when your phone gets shut off and you got to figure out a way to turn it
back
on.
They cut me off yesterday.
Right.
So I paid the past due amount like I do because I'm a real one.
Okay.
And they did not turn my phone back on.
You had to pay the full amount.
I had to pay the full amount.
They probably listened to the Breakfast Club.
They never did that. They never did that either. I'm like, I hope this ain't some new policy.
You know, no, it's because they listen to the show. They hear you on here trying to be cute, encouraging people not to pay their full bill, encouraging people not to do...
Whoa.
You know the crazy thing? They cut me off Monday, and they cut me off midnight. And I was so mad that they cut me off midnight. Usually, they cut me off in the day when I could figure it out. But it was so late, I couldn't really figure it out.
Well, pay your bill.
They cut me off yesterday mid-text. Like, I had just texted somebody, and they was like, call me. When I went to call the person, they directed me right to financial services at Verizon. And they made me end up having to pay the full amount. Then they still didn't turn my phone on after it was zero balance.
They should charge an extra surcharge for people like you.
Well, but
that makes no sense, Angelique, because they offer you to pay. They say you can pay the past due amount or you can pay the full amount. You can pay the past due amount and get your phone turned on. If they want you to pay the full amount, then get rid of the past due option. Right?
Just pay your bill. Don't have a past due.
Well, you're fine for the next 30 days.
Yeah.
Well, 45 days since you paid the full amount.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, thanks to you guys, I have automatic payment on my phone.
Mm.
So okay. I don't even have to worry about it.
Bougie people pay their full amount of their phone bill, okay?
I'll be bougie.
The rest of us pay the past due amount, and we use that little money for
other
things.
When that business call coming in and they get that message, this person does not accept incoming calls.
That's when y'all bond.
Let's not get it twisted. You know, it's only off for about, well, when I figure it out, but it's usually about 30 minutes.
No, they got me yesterday for 2 hours. I told you I had to call the operator. I had to pay the full amount and then call the operator and tell the operator, look, man, I ended up paying the full amount. I got zero balance. What's up? And then they reconnected me.
Mm. All right. Well, that's front page news. Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe
you
had
a
bad night.
Maybe your phone's turned off. You got to go to a payphone.
Yeah, maybe they didn't turn the phone back on. 800-585-1051. Tell them why you're mad. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, good morning, yo. This is the mad rapper, son, for real. I'm mad, and I stay mad. I stay angry. I stay heated. I stay pissed off. Tell them why you mad. Breakfast Club, let's go.
This is, I can't really tell y'all my name because I work in the medical field.
Right.
And what I have to say.
Uh-oh.
I'm very upset, but first I want to say hi to Charlamagne. He reminds me of my uncle. Hey, I always say
me.
That.
Uncle Charlamagne, that's me, boo.
Why you mad, mama?
Okay, so on my job where I work at, like, I'm always getting bullied by this one girl. Now, yeah, I'm trying to be very professional, but I just want to let her know that stop bullying me because, you know, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to go back at her.
First of all, you a black woman. As a black woman, sometimes you got to put the fear of God in people. You know what to do. You walk up on her smacking your hands together in her face, giving her those air claps, and tell her it can and will go down if she don't act right.
I love you, Charlamagne.
I don't know about that advice, but...
Careful. Don't let her bully you, mama.
I ain't telling her to hit nobody.
I almost quit my job because of her.
Oh, you can't let nobody make you quit your job now.
That's a little cool.
I know. It was that serious this morning, y'all. It's been like that for like a good 30 days, and I've been trying to be humble.
Nah, boo. Sometimes F being humble. Sometimes you just got to go put the fear of God in people.
Hello, who's this?
Yes, this is Nicole.
Nicole
from Houston,
yes. H-Town. Tell them why you mad, mama.
Man, I was listening to Nuck Why You Buck, man. That's why, you know. But anyways, I was. So I gave him the mouthful before I even, you know, got on the air. But what I'm mad about is people who come to this country, certain illegals or so, who come here, Mexicanos, think they're better than my people, okay?
Oh,
when I start acting like they white, these mofos are getting free money from the IRS. Look it up, Google it, it's for real. Because they claiming kids up in Mexico don't even live here. They getting extra money from the government, from the IRS. Freaking my people can't get reparations. We got soldiers who can't get their disability, can't get their Social Security. So that's the problem. You know these white people want the Mexicans to be the new blacks.
Jeez.
Don't get it twisted.
Listen,
it's for real out here, homie.
Hey, baby,
it's for real out here, homie.
Baby, listen,
we as
black people going to really criticize somebody for claiming other people's kids on our taxes? That's been a hustle for years, boo.
Hey, nah, bro.
You ain't never claim another kid on your taxes.
Even if they did, it don't matter. They get checks to the address. They can't come back and get some checks. They can repo your account, mofo. Repo your account. Don't get it to see. They got leakage on you. Bump that. That's right.
Bump that, mofo.
We're just gonna let her be mad.
Boy, you.
And I work like a Mexican. They don't get it. It's called new slavery. The only difference is the mofos get paid. So if they ever come, some a black person, I'm that bitch. I come knock them inside their head.
I'm gonna tell you. You straight up like this. Stay away from all Home Depots for about a month, girl.
You're
going to get jumped.
You're going to get jumped.
All right, mama.
All right, then. Be safe. Be blessed.
You got it all out. Any other reason why you mad?
I
got
to go.
You're going to get jumped by a bunch of essays.
Woo.
A bunch of MS-13 is going to get you.
Leave that lady alone,
she wants
mofo.
To build a wall.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Tell them why you mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Riri with Needed Me. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
And salute to my guy, Nate Parker. He'll be here next hour.
He'll be joining us next hour. Birth of a Nation hits theaters tonight at midnight.
Yeah, I got his book, The Birth of a Nation, Nat Turner and the Making of a Movement. Edited by Nate Parker, the official movie tie-in.
A lot of people are still mad, man. A lot of women are mad about his, I guess he was found innocent, but his charge. And they're saying that they necessarily don't want to see the movie because of the charge that he got when he was in college.
Oh, that's ignorant. I'm not even going to say that's ignorant.
That's ignorant. That's how people feel.
That's your choice. Right. But I feel like this movie, Birth of a Nation, has nothing to do with Nate Parker and everything to do with Nat Turner. I think it's a movie that can teach people a lot of things. I think that you can take your kids to this movie and have a lot of teachable moments. And I just think that this movie is bigger than Nate Parker. Plus, can we all keep in mind that Nate Parker got found not guilty? Like, it kills me that if a woman comes to me and a woman says she got sexually assaulted or raped, we have to take her serious. We can't dismiss her, right?
Right.
So if a guy says, hey, I didn't do it, and he gets found not guilty, why do we just dismiss that?
I guess people are reading the transcripts.
Right, and he did and have, the school did have to settle with them harassing her.
What's that mean?
Afterward. In other words, they were before the trial.
But that don't mean he's guilty of sexual assault or rape.
I'm just telling you
what
happened.
There we go. About to do it again. Like,
no,
we gotta stop doing
that. I'm telling you what happened. These are facts.
Well, but what I'm saying is... He got found not guilty.
All right, he got found not guilty. But a lot of times, people are very sensitive about this because there are times that people get found not guilty because... For other reasons, especially
again,
on college campuses.
Again,
we don't know,
once
is
again,
all I'm saying.
Once again, how come as a man, when a man is found not guilty, nobody gives us the benefit of the doubt? We're still guilty in the court of public opinion.
He was found not guilty, but I think people were upset because they said the girl was drunk and he invited his friend over while the girl was drunk.
Who was
drunk,
found
allegedly.
Guilty and then he appealed.
But, you know, it's a conversation that we should have. And I was having this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday that went to Temple, and he was saying, this is true, it's sad, but it's true, that in college, that's what people would do. They would get drunk, and they would smash.
Not even in college.
That was rape.
Not even just in college, in life.
It is an important conversation for everybody to have now. Just in other words, just let people know if a woman is drunk or incapacitated just walk away and leave her alone. If that's the most that comes out of this conversation, I think that's a great thing to really, especially on college campuses where kids are getting drunk and for the first time experimenting with different things.
But that wasn't the first time he had sex with that girl either.
I think they had some type of interaction prior to that, but I don't think they had intercourse.
Well, we'll talk about it more. And, of course, Nate Parker will be joining us. The Nat Turner movie, Birth of a Nation, is out tonight, 11:59 p.m. You could go see it midnight. But we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, let's talk about Drake. I had no idea he was hurt this badly. I'll tell you about what he had to put out there for his fans, some shows that will be rescheduled.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
I didn't come out of
jail. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee.
Rumor has it.
Club.
So listen up. Well, some very unfortunate news. Drake actually has to put off at least three of his shows that are coming up. Now, he posted on his OVO website, his blog site, "The love that my fans, aka my family, have shown to me on the Summer 16 tour has been something I won't ever forget. We are over 50 shows in, and I've done everything to power through my recent ankle injury and leave it all out there on the stage every night. I hate to be told I can't do something, but under doctor's orders to allow me time to recuperate, I'm being forced to postpone an intense three shows in a row in cities which have only ever shown me unconditional support." So as far as Toronto and Philly, he's going to have to postpone. He said he was also asked to postpone both Newark shows that he has, but I have yet to perform there, and so we compromised at one. So for all those people that were planning to go to these shows, he's only going to do one of the two Newark shows. And then he will be postponing Toronto and Philly.
By the way, this is the longest summer ever. It seemed like Drake and Future been on tour forever.
Well, they're coming back around because, remember, they did New York first. Yep. Then it seemed like they came back around and did the Barclays.
Is it still the Summer 16
around,
tour?
Yeah.
It's still the autumn and fall
summer 16
comes.
Now, Summer 16, and they could do in Newark. So they came a bunch of times for us.
Now, Drake also went to Drake University and did a surprise visit. He stopped by the campus. It's in Iowa. They actually did this huge online campaign, a social media campaign, trying to get Drake to visit. The ladies of Kappa Kappa Gamma were doing that. And here's what happened when he showed up early Wednesday morning.
Look, Kappa Kappa Gamma, I'm outside your sorority house right now, and you're all asleep. You're all asleep. Look, Kappa Alpha Theta, be out here. Waiting on you. We waiting on you.
They must got curfew on that campus.
Somebody should have been awake.
I can't believe it was no scragglers awake.
Nobody.
On a college campus?
They were studying.
Nobody was up playing spades. Like, when I went to college, we played spades all night.
Oh, we definitely played spades
class
all
the next
night.
Day.
I wonder what time did he actually go there?
It was after his show. So you have to figure it was pretty late. You know, after his show. So, unfortunately for them, they missed out. I know they were so mad when they woke up and saw this video.
Damn it, man.
And they actually posted video, too, trying to convince him to come back. But
too late.
Who knows when that's going to happen. All right, Kim Kardashian update. Her bodyguard actually deleted every mention of her from his social media. They don't think that her bodyguard was involved. They really like him, everything. He's been with her since, I think, 2012. But they just felt like he should clean it out. They don't want people to know and connect where he's going to be with where she's at. And they say that she is closer to catching who did it, who stole her jewelry, because they do have a camera that caught a reflection of the thieves in a mirror during their getaway. So Paris cops did seize that footage Tuesday morning, and they spoke with the nail salon owner because it was a nail salon that had that, and the camera outside, the mirror outside, got a clear shot of the crooks as they were fleeing. Now, they also said the president is very involved in making sure that these thieves are caught.
So yeah, this hurts tourism.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, Kim Kardashian's a high-profile case. Kim Kardashian, on her behalf, feels like she is also partly at fault. She agrees with critics who are saying that she put a target on her back by just flaunting her wealth and her jewelry on social media. They say a number of people have been critical, as we know, of her for flaunting her ring. So right now, she's going to take a month off of work. When she gets back, she's not going to be on social media the same way, displaying her personal wealth and all of that. She was supposed to be, I think, in Dubai or something doing a makeup class, so she's postponed that.
But isn't that kind of like victim blaming, though?
It is.
I mean, she of course, you can't entice the wolves, and you should be able to protect what you post, but isn't that like the same thing as saying, well, you kind of deserved it because of what you were wearing?
It is.
Well, I guess for her own precautions, she just feels like, you know what, when I have certain things, I just won't flaunt it as much because I don't want people to know what I have and therefore make me a target. I guess that's how she's looking at it.
She's scared, absolutely scared.
I just think that's weird because that's like a woman saying, I'm going to start wearing more clothes now because I don't want to wear revealing stuff because I don't want to get raped. I almost got raped, so I'm going to start wearing a bunch of clothes now.
You're right.
I mean, I understand that, but I even feel like, you know, on my behalf, not like I have anything on the level of a Kim Kardashian, but I feel like I'm also pretty careful about what I have and, you know, putting it out there like that because you don't want to be like, hey, look what I have. Come, you know.
I would love to floss on Instagram, but I ain't got nothing, bro. I'm a part-time Uber driver.
Liar.
In the afternoon. You know what I'm saying?
Liar.
I got on a white Target T-shirt right
Liar.
Now from Mosi Mo, baby.
Liar.
All right. Now, Derrick Rose's attorneys are saying that he's not going to settle. He said, I want to take it to court because I didn't want to settle. He said, I don't feel like I did anything wrong, and this is all for the rape case that he has. If I go up there and just tell my side of the story, I think I'll be all right. The problem is that they feel like there's a lack of black people in the jury pool. An attorney for Derrick Rose's two co-defendants said that only two of the 50 prospective jurors were African-American, and all three defendants are black. So they want to make sure that this is a little bit more fair.
Okay.
All right, and that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, thank you, Ms. Yee. Now, when we come back, Nate Parker will be joining us. His movie, Birth of a Nation, hits theaters tonight at midnight. I know you guys have a lot of questions. We want to chop it up with him. We got a lot to talk about. Keep it locked, grab some popcorn, and relax. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Usher, No Limit. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
The man of the hour. A
lot of controversy around his movie. Charlamagne and Angela Yee have seen it. I haven't.
Yes.
I am going tomorrow. I'm going to be in Boston, so I'm going to see it in Boston.
That okay. could be dangerous. Boston is a very
that
white
dangerous.
Place.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Parker's in the building.
What's up? What's up?
Two things I thought I would never see on a Hollywood screen is Luke Cage in any form and Nat Turner in a movie. I've been screaming for a Nat Turner movie because I don't like slave movies. Mm-hmm. I've been denounced them. I said, if you going to make any slave movie, let it be Nat Turner because Nat Turner wasn't a victim. Right. And you got it done.
Well, let's explain Nat Turner too for people that don't know because I've never learned it in my history books. It wasn't anything that I've ever read. And
right.
I went to Hampton University, which is an HBCU. I've been in Hampton. I know you're from Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
So what made that so special to you, that story?
Well, a lot of it is what you just said. I grew up in Norfolk, 42 miles east of Southampton County where the revolt happened, and I never heard about this brother, right?
So really? Why?
Yeah, I never heard about him. We
learned about it growing up, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never learned about it in school. Mm-hmm. And it's significant because when you think of the proximity, you would think that someone would have said something, mm-hmm. but it speaks to the danger of the revolutionary, you know, mm-hmm. the person that looks like us that fought for his own freedom. We don't get those stories. Like you said, you know what I mean? Like even when we learn about slavery, we learn through the context of
the victim.
A victim. And honest, right. We laid down until Honest Abe said enough is enough. You know, Honest Abe couldn't tell a lie, molding his chin, pensive. Slave problem, we got to figure it out. Picked us up, and now we're free.
Right.
You know, we don't learn about, you know, Toussaint. We don't learn about Denmark Vesey. We don't
Denmark
learn
Vesey.
About, you mm-hmm. know, we don't learn about Gabriel Prosser. We don't learn about any of them, mm-hmm. right? And so you have to ask yourself, why is that? Why is our history being hid? The things that will empower us, you know what I mean? And I mean, even when I was trying to make this film, people were like, if you make this film, bro, like, it's going to be a problem. Like, don't make this film. Like, black people, like, prominent directors was like, make the story of John Brown. You know, John Brown's a white abolitionist that mm-hmm. led a slave revolt. Mm-hmm. It was like, that'll be easier for people to digest. You know what I mean? I had another prominent black director told me, he was like, well, I liked your script, but I didn't love it. One thing would have made me love it. And I was like, what? You know, I got my notebook out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he said, you need more good white people.
Wow.
I was like, what do you mean? He was like, white people ain't gonna watch that, man. Ain't gonna watch that shit. Ain't gonna,
but it was the 1800s. It's a period piece.
And it was America. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, when it comes to other demographics that have endured torture and genocide and Holocaust, just never forget. You know what I mean? It's very important that we hold those stories up so they never repeat themselves. But in this country, we have this habit of kind of closing off the things that don't reflect us in the best of lights. You know, so in telling the story, you know, I said, man, I learned about Nat Turner at 21. Mm-hmm. But if I'd have learned about him at 12.
How did you learn about him at 21?
African-American studies class. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they made you read The Confessions of Nat Turner? Or?
I did read that. Okay. You know, and it's funny because Confessions is fiction. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like a...
I always wondered about that. Somebody told me that before.
Well, it won a Pulitzer, which is tricky because it won the Pulitzer for fiction. Mm-hmm. But the writer, he said it's a reimagining of Nat Turner's life. It's not Nat Turner's life. So when you read The Fires of Jubilee, you know, or William Drury's book, Southampton Insurrection, and you read the real stuff, you're like,
well, I need to read the real stuff. The only thing I ever read was The Confessions of Nat Turner.
But I'm going to tell you, how, like, it's a fiction book where it said, okay, well, Nat Turner, he all of his motivation came for his lust after the handmaid of his master, like a white woman. Like, that's why. And he was crazy. He was a fanatic. Mm-hmm. He was homosexual. Like, all these things that they made up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you get to the real, you're like, well, why would they denigrate his life? Why would they mysticize the things that actually happened when they had, like, why would they make it so he didn't have children or didn't have a wife?
Mm-hmm.
He had a wife. He had a child. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like the attack of the black man, the demonizing of the black man is something that ain't new. This is age old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we get to celebrate this story, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of people I grew up with went to prison, not here with us today, had that chip on their shoulder and had no context as to why or where, you know, they could put that energy. But heroes, when you can say, oh, no, Nat Turner rose and stood so I can stand.
Nat Turner was Django. Before Django.
The real Django.
Yeah, me and Chris Rock had a debate about that because he thought I was trying to insult Nat Turner by saying that. But the reason I love Django is because he wasn't a victim. Django burnt the plantation
down.
He
did. And he stood up and he was like, nah, it's not happening this way. I'll take it even a step further, though. Nat Turner said, I'm going to sacrifice on behalf of people that I'll never meet.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, and biblically it says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Right? Nat Turner was like, okay, I'm going to walk to these gallows, but I know that what I did will echo into eternity. We're celebrating Nat Turner. They skinned him. Lampshades out of his skin and purses, like, this is what they did. You know what I'm saying? So it's like all, and they did what they did in the name of God. He did what he did in the name of God.
Were there certain things that you originally had in the movie that you felt like you had to take out, or people said, okay, maybe that's...
Nope. And it goes back to your question. Seriously, like you said,
right.
I didn't, you know, I went to Hollywood
you
for money.
Everybody that said they passed, so how did you pay for it?
I knocked on doors, man. You know, I went to school. A lot of friends were in finance. You know, one guy in particular I contacted, he connected me to one of his friends that actually worked in New York that had a hedge fund. And I asked him for the money. He said no. I said, okay.
How much were you asking for?
Millions.
you got seven. You raised seven to get it done, right?
Yeah.
How much did you think you needed?
The budget said we needed like 30, right?
30 million?
To make it?
Oh, my. It's a battle film.
Yeah,
they said we needed
40
days. We shot in 27 days.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I knocked on doors. I went to anyone who would listen. My lowest contribution was like $75,000. My biggest contribution was like $2 million. You know, and the guy that gave me the $2 million, I just begged him. I stepped away from acting for 2 years. After I finished Beyond the Lights, that Monday I went into my team, was like, I'm not acting anymore. Writing anything else. I'm not acting anything else. I'm not directing. Don't call me. The next skin I live in will be Nat Turner, period.
That's a different level of commitment, man.
That's commitment.
That's you know, belief in yourself.
Bruh, it was belief in God. Like, my faith really really reeled me in. The first $100,000 into this film was my own money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I had. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't a millionaire. I'm a thousandaire. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And to put up $100,000, it hurt. You know what I mean? Talking to my wife, I was like, this is important. Like, I didn't know it would be $100,000.
What was her stance at this point? Because now she's
just
like, baby, you ain't working and you want to take everything?
And we got lights. You know,
they
need to
kids.
Be on, and kids need to be turned on. But she had faith, man. She was just like, you know, if the Lord's called you to do this, you know, I got your back.
Mm-hmm. That's very Nat Turner-esque in itself. Right.
Yeah, you know.
I was going to say, like, Nat Turner was a chosen one.
Right.
From when he was a child, from
That's
when he was
right.
born. Did you feel like you were a chosen one in telling the story? It was something that you were kind of born to do?
I felt like it was written on my spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't say I'm chosen. I just felt like, you know how you like, you know what? You know, we all struggle and wrestle with our faith and try to get strong and whatever that means. And I was like, you know what, Lord? Like, I feel like you want me to tell this story. How many times can you get offered Crip number 4 or Blood number 2? You know what I'm saying? At some point, you're like, man, there's got to be something better, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I go a whole year and pass on 50 projects, and there'd be one great debaters. Now I got to compete against the whole world to get that.
Right.
And then hope that Denzel sees something in me that works. At some point, you're like, man, well, what is a story I want to tell? If I could tell any story I want, what would it be? Mm-hmm. Nat Turner. Why? That's Braveheart. Mm-hmm. We never had a Braveheart.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we have more with Nate Parker. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Tory Lanez with Love. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Nate Parker in the building. Now, Birth of a Nation hits theaters everywhere tonight at midnight. You must see it.
And it took you 7 years to get done, right?
This is my eighth year.
Eighth year. So, how did you eat in between?
Oh, well acting. Okay. I only stepped away from acting the last 2 years mm-hmm. because you know how you're asking people for money. It's like, all right, you know, Envy, I need $1 million. You're like, all right, well, get me a business plan. And I say, all right, I'm going to go shoot this movie first, and then I'll be back with a business plan. So Then when I get back, you're like, if you were serious, you wouldn't have went and did that thing. So that's why I walked away from acting,
mm-hmm.
because I felt like it was distracting from raising the money.
Right.
You know, so when I went for broke, and I literally, like, Hail Mary, closed my eyes, went for broke, I'm asking black folks, anyone you think I ask, I ask.
Did anybody in hip-hop step up, like all these rich-ass rappers?
Tony Parker gave me money.
I seen it. Yeah, I seen his name.
Michael Finley gave me money. Mm-hmm. Derrick Brooks gave me money. Mm-hmm. And look, and I'm not blaming anyone for not, because right. all the models said don't do it. They're like, wait, you want to make a movie with a black lead?
And he killing all these white people?
And right, and he's killing, and that's never been seen on screen.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and they read the script, and it was like, so the black guy baptized the white dude. Okay. Right. And there's a black angel. So the angels are black. Okay. And you want this to sell overseas. Okay. How about no? It's hard out there in these streets. Like, in Hollywood, it's hard to get projects off the ground that reflect people of color in a positive light.
Were you surprised it actually made it in theaters? Because we've been hearing about it for a while.
Listen, look, that's why I said, look, the reality is...
You still whispering like you ain't having it.
Yeah, whispering like you on the field.
No, I'm going to say, but look, I'm going to say, make sure this movie
come out on Friday.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying at the same. I'm actually saying the opposite. I'm like, come for me. That's okay. The movie exists.
Yeah,
Turner is alive and well, right? And young people will see it. Old people will see it. Healing will be had. Mm-hmm. Bonding will be had. Solidarity will be achieved in the name of Jesus. I'm not tripping. My whole thing is I would have released this on YouTube. No joke. When we went to Sundance, if I wouldn't have gotten Sundance, you know, I went to my investors and said, look, this is like, you know, $6.5 million of equity loss. I'm sorry. But I do think this film needs to be seen. So we're going to make a deal with YouTube, mm-hmm. you know, and drop it on YouTube. Let people know, I'll plug it, whatever I gotta do.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it ain't about the money, it ain't about no accolades. I didn't step away from acting and bankrupt my life and put my mortgage in jeopardy to be fly, mm-hmm. you know? Like, that's not what this is about. This is about a story that if I had when I was 12, I mean, we lose mm-hmm. young brothers and sisters 11, 12. Yeah. They don't have heroes and people that to connect to. Now, to have a kid on the playground saying, well, I'm Nat Turner, like, it's priceless.
I learned about Denmark VC at about 13, 14, mm. because I'm from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, but born in Charleston.
Yes.
So they would take us to field trips to Denmark VC's house.
Right.
So I knew about Denmark VC since decades ago.
But what does that do for your self-esteem when someone says, black people didn't fight? You're like, wait, no. Let's get this straight right now. And what we're working on right now is like a monument for Nat Turner. There's things we're trying to put together. So my young 11-year-old self in Norfolk, Tidewater Park or Ruffin Middle School, mm-hmm. they say, everyone, this is the path that Nat Turner took with his rebels when they were fighting for the liberation that you enjoy.
Right. And even watching this afterwards, you feel like you can apply a lot of different things to what's going on.
That's right.
Even today, I walked out of there and I was like, wow, there's just so many things that you see mm-hmm. when you watch Birth of a Nation, that mm-hmm. what's going on in the news today, what's going on in the communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that you were on T.D. Jakes
mm-hmm.
and you spoke about the first police officers were mm-hmm. overseers.
That's right. Well, yeah, first police officers were slave catchers. They were called paddy rollers.
Who you belong to, boy?
Yeah, they go straight. They go through the plantation. It's funny how, like, when you have context, you just think differently, right? Mm-hmm. So look, the first police officers, right, once in South Carolina, their job was to go in between the plantations and make sure nobody was wandering or deserted or ran. And if they caught someone, sometimes they just kill them. Or sometimes they bring them back and beat them publicly, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you fast forward to 2016, you look at our communities, right? Mm-hmm. If we can understand the damaged relationship between us and law enforcement back then we have context as to right now in 2016. And we're not saying, oh, a couple bad apples. We're saying, no, something systemic has happened.
Direct correlation.
Direct correlation.
Driving the wrong neighborhood if you want to as a black man.
See if they don't ask you for your pass.
Yeah, if they don't ask you for your pass. And then get out of the car, get the F on the curb. Mm-hmm. That's the game. You know, but if you have that context, right, then you can deal with it in a way that's made more progressive rather than saying there are a couple bad cops. I, for one, and people may disagree with this, I don't think a cop wakes up and says, man, I hope I can kill me a nigga today. Excuse my language. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, but they're taught and conditioned to believe, black ones and white ones, mm-hmm. taught and conditioned to believe that when you see someone of color, they are presumed dangerous and guilty.
A bad guy.
Yeah. A bad guy. Mm-hmm. Dangerous. Or they call it criminal policing. I had a police tell me, he was like, dude, we're in the good neighborhoods. That is administrative policing. You know what I'm saying? We see someone, hello, how are you, sir? How are you, ma'am? Can you please? He was like, but when we in the jungle, and he said the word jungle, but just because it's like in him, it's the mm-hmm. hunt. Criminal policing. You know, you got you on probation, get on your own parole, get on the curb.
All right.
But it's a mentality. And that same mentality says, make it home no matter what.
Right.
Protect yourself no matter what. All of that is passed down. All that fear, like all of this trauma that we're feeling is directly connected to the worst period in American history that we do like this, mm-hmm. cognitive dissonance.
The movie is graphic, but if you know the Nat Turner story, it's not as graphic as it could have been.
That's exactly right.
Did you purposely not kill women and kids in the movie?
Yeah, what I deal with, I mean, if you look at any story, I'm not going to name movies because it's going to look like I'm going at them, but you look at any films that deal with, you know, the Roman times or deal with different, you know, different Babylon revolution films with white people, right? Every single one of them, you look it up, there were casualties that were men, women, and children. Even in America, we've dropped a couple bombs, killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we don't have to go graphically and put it on it, you know, show the baby. What I wanted to do, I didn't want to rely on shock value. There's a scene in the film where he's looking at the Bible, and he's like, something has to change.
Mm-hmm.
If this Bible is right, then they're wrong. And if they're wrong and I'm a leader of men, I got to do something. Mm-hmm. And as the page comes up and you see what he's reading it, and it says, go and kill everyone, mm-hmm. men, women, children, and their animals. Smite Amalek. That's how I deal with it. In the same way that there are different things that happen throughout that I didn't want to make this the grossest film you ever saw. Right. There are a couple scenes that are hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But for the most part, I mean, even just the scene with, now, I had one spoiler because it's in the trailer, the scene where the little girl comes out with the skipping with the rope, and then the rope is around the little girl's neck. But the crazy thing is she's skipping too and smiling. That's mm-hmm. 2016.
Yeah.
A lot of us have ropes around our neck and we don't even realize it.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people gave you flack for the image of you with the American flag around your
sure.
neck.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand what people got upset about.
For the same reason they don't teach us our history. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. like, are we to really grasp and wrestle with white supremacy in this country? Do we really want to? Or are we going to attack everyone that ever brings it up?
Mm.
That's the question we have to ask. Like, that whole the noose image was, America has a stranglehold on black men. I didn't make that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And like I said, I have to say publicly, dude, Fox releasing that, like, they've been the best partner. They've been like, we want to help this film along in the way that you made this film. We don't want to dictate. So when that art came up, they were like, we have chosen our line. We will stand with you. Next thing you know, the art goes out. Most people are like, oh, my God. Other people are like, they're desecrating the flag. I'm like, do you know how many people have been, thousands of people have been lynched, mm-hmm. you know, castrated with their genitalia stuffed in their mouths
yeah.
to protect white privilege? You know, and let's be clear, this film, I mean, you saw the film.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the film.
Yes.
This film is like, it's not anti-white, right. anti-evil. You know?
Anti-evil.
You know, Nat Turner anti-evil. Said very clearly, he said, in his visions, we will cut the head from the serpent. If God is real, these people are evil, and we got to do something. Black empowerment doesn't mean white hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there will be people, mark my words, when this film comes out, oh, it's propaganda. It's not propaganda. Which is why the white people you see aren't bad people.
Mm-hmm.
They're just in a situation where the system is crafted in such a way that it makes it very difficult to go against the everyday norms of life.
All right. Well, we have the director and star of the movie Birth of a Nation with us right now. When we come back, we have to address all the rape allegations and rape talk. So keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Drake Riri with Too Good. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Nate Parker in the building. His movie, Birth of a Nation, hits everywhere tonight at midnight, so definitely go see it. Now, Charlamagne?
I honestly don't know who's demonizing you at this point, because I see it from all angles. Because I'm going to tell you a story. I remember maybe a month before I saw the movie, mm-hmm. had an OG, triple OG in the game, hit me up, and he goes, look, we got to support this film. Mm-hmm. He said they're going to try to crucify Nate Parker.
Yeah.
And then 2-3 weeks later, all the different allegations came mm-hmm. out. It was, oh, he got a white wife. It mm-hmm. was, oh, he's homophobic. It was, mm-hmm. oh, he has rape charges.
Mm-hmm.
Did you expect that to happen?
Let's just say I was warned early on by, you know, people in the industry, people that love me, people that I love, that just said, you know, are you ready for what may come with this film? You know, it's like, it's look, I'm going to say, look, you know, how you rediscover something you already knew? I've never hid anything from my life. I never ran from nobody in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to run now. Mm-hmm. No one's going to stop me from telling stories that I think uplift my people. They're just not going to do it. It can come for me. That's okay. I'm a grown up. I'm a man. I'm so anchored in the Lord, bro. My faith is so strong that I'm not tripping. I know the power of Nat Turner and what he can do for our people, what he can do for America. What happens if we start celebrating Nat Turner as a hero in this country? You know, look, the African-American museum just opened. Mm-hmm. Nat Turner's Bible, right? George Bush said, you know, Nat Turner. George Bush said it out of his mind. Like, what happens if it becomes normal to celebrate everyone of every color that has contributed to the narrative of this country?
Right.
Things will change. Privilege will be challenged,
mm-hmm.
but things will change.
Does it piss you off, though? Because we were watching your Good Morning America interview.
Mm-hmm.
And you look like, all right, enough is enough.
You look like you want to scream, put some respect on my name.
Yeah, like enough of Nate
all right,
Parker.
Like,
no,
cause they, I mean, because they showed some of the stuff that you went through when you were in college. You look like, come on now.
I'll just say this. My post is out there. I'll probably get in trouble. It was an ambush, you know,
It looked like an ambush. It looked like you didn't know what was going to be on the screen.
What just happened?
Like, what the
Look, you know, because this is bigger than me. Nat Turner is so much bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my 36-year-old life, in anything you could ever dig up or whatever. Nat Turner? Mm-hmm. A film about Nat Turner exists is going to drop on Friday, like for real.
I don't believe it.
Exactly. Until you go to the theater and you see that title card, right. It's even hard for me to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when every morning I pray and I'm in like a devotional space, I'm like, Lord, thank you. I'm not playing the victim. I'm not crying. I'm not walking around sad at all. Mm-hmm. I'm rejoicing every day because the film exists.
Did you feel like it would be in jeopardy at any point?
The film?
Yeah, just with everything coming up, like, we can't put this out. Because I remember thinking, oh, man, are they going to try to not put the movie out now?
There's a verse in the Bible that says, I tell you these things so that you will find peace in me. You know, in the world there will be tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. God is God. Mm-hmm. The same God that helped me to make this film, same God that got me through, you know, whatever obstacles I have in my life, same God that made it so this film is coming out on Friday, the same God that's made it so people will be able to gain something, perspective. Young people, 50 years from now, some 10-year-old kid is going to be able to watch this film in the same way that they used the original Birth of a Nation as a recruitment tool for the KKK. We're going to use it as a recruitment tool for revolution and resistance,
mm-hmm.
for people that recognize something needs to change. Mm-hmm. That's bigger than me.
Right.
If I die today and the film can live, I'm not tripping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good, bro. I'm in such peace right now because this film exists.
Right.
So for me, it's kind of like, okay, well, cool. Let's get the film out. Okay, cool. All right, fine. Let's get the film out. Okay, yeah, next question. Let's get the film out.
Right.
Because when the film comes out, it will speak for itself.
I mean, I think we've all been guilty of it. It judges your character. You know
right.
what I mean? When we hear Nate Parker, we hear this accusation. Mm. His friend is this. His friend is that.
Right.
That has to affect you in a way because now people who don't know you might look at you at a different light.
But guess what? We gotta rise up to the 10,000-foot view,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're in a moment and you're set on fire, it's easy to be like, oh, my God, I'm on fire,
mm-hmm.
right? But when you rise up to the 10,000-foot view and you see the Lord's resume, everything that's happened up until that moment, and you look forward and say, okay, this moment will cause a reaction forward,
mm-hmm.
then you realize, look, this is bigger than my character.
Mm-hmm.
People will get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get to know my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm cool with that. I'm cool. I didn't know you guys until I knew you. I didn't know you until mm-hmm. I knew you.
Right.
If I could go out and meet every single person and glad hand and shake mm-hmm. their hand, would I do it? Yeah, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let my art, let my activism speak in ways that my mouth on these shows with these headline hunters and these clickbait people, I'm going to let them do that thing. I'm not tripping on the news.
I feel, this is just me talking, I feel like it was a conspiracy
mm-hmm.
by some powers that be to derail the release of the film. Because all of this information has been out there. It's been public. You were found not guilty. You spoke about it before. Why now? That's all I want to know. Like, why now?
You know what? You know, there's some people that say, you know, why me? And then there's some people that say, well, what can come out of this moment? You know, and I try to be the latter. I try to be the person that says, regardless of the moment, what can change because of these actions?
Mm-hmm.
Because look, if people forever kick dirt on me, forever,
mm-hmm.
but this film exists by itself, and in 100 years, when I'm dead and gone, they got this film, we win. We all win.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If we release this film, right, and all the old heads see it, and all the old heads are like, yeah, we get it. We're moving forward. And the kid in Bed-Stuy, the 15-year-old kid, don't know who Nat Turner is still. Oakland, or the mm-hmm. kid in Decatur,
mm-hmm.
doesn't know, we lose. Mm-hmm. Right. So I reached out to the dopest artist I could find, Gucci Mane, and talked to him on the phone. I said, brother, I know you care about your community.
Yeah,
I
didn't understand
that. I haven't heard the music, so I'm not going to judge it, but I didn't understand
the
Gucci Lil Wayne.
Well,
you got to hear the music. Yeah, yeah. This is the thing. Look. Guess what? Gucci got the streets. Lil Wayne got the streets. I don't have the streets. Mm-hmm.
And even what they're talking about on that particular song.
Did you listen to it?
Socially conscious stuff?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everyone is on message. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. You got 2 Chainz on message talking about go up to the state house, tell them to revise the system.
Okay.
2 Chainz. You know what I mean? It's like, if you can get them on message, because as you know, music in a way has been corporatized. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the politics around making mm-hmm. music and who we're making it for and who's consuming it, a lot of times it doesn't help our people. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in this country, they give a little bit to a few and then tell those few to kind of be happy with what you got and turn your back and your power against the people that need it the most. I mean, there are things that happen. It happens in my industry, too. So if I can get people that do care about the community but don't have the platform to release it.
Right.
So I had a chance to sit with all these guys, you know, Vic Mensa, all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, Trey Songz, Neo, everyone is on message talking about the system, talking about oppression, talking about faith.
That's dope, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Lil Wayne was like, I got to feed the family, but I had to leave the family. I left CMB. I'm an amputee, but I would never leave Christianity.
I heard Iggy Azalea submitted a track, but you turned it down.
I didn't turn anything down. it's like anything else. Things, like everyone that wants to be on your show can't get on a show.
Oh, Iggy really submitted a track?
No.
Oh, I'm about to say.
I was like, I thought he made that up.
I'm like, what?
No. I'm saying that I'm trying to be fair. A lot of people submitted albums, but we really, you know, when you track list, when you make a track list, you want to make sure everything fits. Nas has an incredible song called War.
See, that's on brand.
Huh?
Nas Birth of a Nation, that's on brand.
But why would you do something obvious? You know what I'm saying? At some point, if I can get Lil Wayne, you know, to talk about the streets in the context of message, and then a young person was like, wait a minute, did Lil Wayne just say that?
Right.
And wait, he was inspired by a movie to, like, be on message? Mm-hmm. I need to see this movie. Mm-hmm. These artists care about what's happening. They just don't always have the platform. So I just was trying to create some space, man, you know, and to get young people in the theater so they can feel empowered.
All right, we have more with Nate Parker when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Khaled for free. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, usually we do rumors right here, but Nate Parker's in the building. Birth of a Nation hits theaters tonight at midnight.
Are you, I don't want to say concerned, that this movie will cause some type of revolt now? Because this could be a dangerous time to put this movie out.
Let me be clear. It's a quotable. I hope it makes people uncomfortable. I hope that it inspires a riotous disposition. Mm. Now, do I want violence? Absolutely not. We're above that now. Why do we need to be violent when we got journalists, we got radio personalities that have power, we have social media?
But that sounds like the same old song. Social media is not, but everything else sounds like the same old song.
Watch this. Nat Turner had axe handles mm-hmm. and broomsticks, right? Mm-hmm. And he didn't have the right to assemble. So what does that mean? That means what we're doing right now in this room would have been illegal and we would all have been lynched.
Right.
Mm. Well, we do have a white man in the room.
He's Cuban.
He's Cuban. Oh, good. I couldn't see your whole face. Good. As soon as I said that, he was like,
No.
You're wrong. I am Pitbull. But we didn't have the right to assemble. Yeah. It's right here, dead, right?
Right.
Nat Turner, out of that, only tools he had, his only reaction, he couldn't have been like, I'm calling a meeting. Everybody on the plantation, we going to strike.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We going to protest and walk around the main house. Like, he couldn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. So he fought and the tools he had. You look now, right? The power we have, you look at, like, Colin Kaepernick. Like, I always say when athletes get involved, it's a wrap. Like, things are going to change because we're messing with the money. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If nothing else, they walk out of that film and says, I'm going to use my occupation to spearhead the systemic crisis I see in my own life, mm-hmm. my own community. Things will change immediately. Does that mean marching? Maybe. Does it mean more than marching? Does it mean some people saying, nah, I ain't going to do that? I'm going to walk into my producer and tell him, I'm not saying that thing ever again. Mm-hmm. What? And sacrificing because mm-hmm. I might get fired. You know, is it, whatever your occupation, mm-hmm. what is your contribution? I want people, you know, the biggest difference, I believe, between the civil rights movement of old and the civil rights movements of new is that people aren't willing to die. Mm-hmm. Anything that's ever done anything for our community that actually resulted in progress had to take a bullet to their head.
The good thing about the movie, too, is like when you say systemic oppression, I like that because it's not just saying white people, because they had to go battle against their own who was on the side of systemic oppression as well.
Exactly right. You're absolutely right, brother. Frederick Douglass has this dope quote where he says, when I became free, I began to see the effects slavery had not only on slave, but on slave masters, right? Like everyone around us has been passed down something, this trauma, this wound that we won't let heal. We won't face it. We just won't because it's too uncomfortable. It's too painful. I mean, how many times have you heard someone say, like in politics, you know, we got to have the race conversation? Have you ever had the race conversation with like, have we ever been like, okay, everyone, this is race conversation day. Race conversation day is going to be October 10th, right? Call your friends, order pizza, you know, and Coke and Coca-Cola. And when, right. Come over to the right. Come over to the house. Headline like, hey Parker, encourage people. No, come over. We're gonna have a conversation on race. Right. Invite people that don't look like you. We're gonna come to the table. We're gonna eat and be like, yo, so, race, like, you know,
what do you
white
think?
Privilege. What do you think? No one's having that conversation.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so at some point, you know, they say if you always do what you always done, you always get what you always got. America's always doing what they always done. That's shutting people up. That's attacking the people that resist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem for America. I always say a healthier black community, healthier Latino community is a healthier United States of America.
Do you think your past rape charges will cause people not to see this movie with an objective eye? Because I saw an article in The New Yorker where the author didn't give it the best review, but it kept mixing with the movie. And I'm like,
Listen. Presumed dangerous and guilty. Like, yeah. That's... You know, the attack is the attack. You know, you know what I'm saying? I think anyone that thinks it's important to hear stories that have been erased from history that can aid in our progress as America needs to see this film, in my humble opinion, right? Take me out of it. Whatever you feel about me, whatever you feel about my acquittal, whatever you feel about my innocence or whatever you have. Right. Just for a second, recognize if you call yourself a patriot, I think you have to take steps toward healing America. And if this film stands for something like that outside of me, then let's have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Let's not take the baggage of whatever you've read in a headline and just say, I'm gonna see what the film does.
Can a black man ever be not guilty in America? Even you're acquitted, you're not guilty, but even when you was on 60 Minutes, they was like, he should have apologized. I'm like, but he's maintained his innocence and got found not guilty. What do you want him to apologize for?
It's a question worth asking, but at the same time, I think that we're more concerned about how we've been conditioned to see ourselves and less concerned about how other people see us, then we'll be able to really deal with crisis. We have to make ourselves smaller for the bigger picture. Nat Turner made himself small. You know, it doesn't say a good man makes sure his name is good when he dies. Like, I'm not tripping on me. Mm. You know, everything I'm doing for my children and my children's children so that when they look up at that image of me, wherever it is, and I'm in hopefully looking fly in the oil painting, they can be like, you know what, man, my dad tried, you know, my great, you know, whatever. He tried to do something. He tried to deal with it. Even if they say they came for him, whatever, but he tried to do something.
Mm-hmm. They definitely try to divide.
Yeah.
Definitely try to divide.
But that ain't new, man. That ain't new. Like, all I'm saying is, can we try to start
with women and African-American women and have women against you. And then, you know, with the headlines, they definitely try to divide.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me that a black man can't be black if he's married to a white woman. That's the picture they try to paint.
Look, all I'm saying is this. Look at my resume. Do I care about black people? Do I care about systemic oppression? Have I dedicated anything to raising all ships when it comes to progressing the conversation around America? I don't have to answer that question. You know what I mean? I will continue. Like I said, no one's going to take my seed, what I believe the Lord has put in me to do for our community, to do for our country. I'm just staying the course and staying focused, man, and the hope that, you know, what's the next project? You know,
that's what I was going to ask you. What's next for Nate Parker now after you put out such a huge movie?
Something with Tyler Perry, because you're going to have to
move Hollywood out.
What comes next?
You're
going to
have
to put him in a dress. And... Listen, all right, look, I'm going to say this publicly, all right? Leave Tyler Perry alone. He's a friend of mine, and he's a good brother.
Did he give you some money?
He did not give me money, but he's a good brother. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to do something, you know, whatever makes me as passionate about, you know, doing the work and the art as this has, you know. Like I said, I stepped away 2 years to really get it together. So the next thing, who knows? The next thing might take 8 more years. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, my art is a function of my activism, man. I'm not tripping on Hollywood. I'm not tripping on money. I'm not tripping on awards. Like, I just want to wake folks up. If I can get a 10-year-old kid to have a, you know, walking down the street playing with his friends, I'm Nat Turner.
Right.
We win. That's the biggest win of them all. So
yeah, until he's chasing four little white kids around with an axe handle. I'm not done. Whoa.
Now, will people get to see it? How many theaters is it in? Because, you know, sometimes when these movies come out, it'd be in five theaters.
It's a pretty big release.
It's a massive release. Yeah. Okay, so I got to give props to Fox. You know, there's a lot to be gained from this film. You know, October 7th, you know, I want to say tonight, it will... You know, Thursday night, tonight, midnight, you'll be able to watch the film. And guess what?
If
young people, you know, I don't beg, but I'm begging you. I'm begging you to go to see this film. If you don't like it, don't say nothing. If you're not pulled in and hooked in it, walk out. You know, I'm not. But just give it a shot to see if there's anything for you in it. There's a line in the film where they said they're killing black people for no reason at all but being black. Like this, I got to write this film. So I wrote it for young people. You will see the themes. It'll attach to you. Right. You know what I'm saying? You get out of school. You get out of practice, wherever. Go check the film out.
They're going to love it, man. Luke Cage ain't got nothing on Nat Turner. And I love Luke Cage.
Right. Luke Cage is dope.
Yeah. I love Luke Cage. Mm-hmm. He ain't got nothing on Nat Turner.
And kids always say things like, I could have never been a slave, man. When the minute they told me to do this.
This is the movie for you.
We
appreciate you joining us.
Oh, come on.
We really appreciate it. The movie, go see it tonight, midnight, also tomorrow. Like I said, I'm in Boston this weekend. I'm going to call some listeners.
Let me bring
and I'm
some tissues
listeners.
With you. I'm telling you. I know you are crying.
You ain't going to want to talk to none of them white people in Boston.
That's
once
black
you get,
people in Boston.
And guess what? And that's some white folks, I'm telling you, they're going to be down and give you the proper handshake after they walk
right.
out. You know what I'm saying? They'll
buy you some popcorn.
I appreciate I'm trying to tell you.
You're going to flip out and kill me, my brother, please.
Nah. Now, buy me a movie date in Boston that show, and then we're going to go see it. I'm going to pay for some of the listeners.
That's what's up.
About 20 listeners.
That's big. I appreciate you.
How much is that?
Nate Parker, ladies and gentlemen.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you for the time, man.
Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed up.
So like a donkey.
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, October 6th, goes to the Weather Channel's Jen Delgado. Now, the Weather Channel has to be one of the most reputable networks ever. It's been around since 1982. And if you want an accurate weather assessment, this is the place to go. They are to weather what ESPN is to sports. So we would expect the reporters there to be accurate on all things weather. And Jen Delgado made me realize this week that it's quite possible that maybe, just maybe, all the reporters on the Weather Channel, maybe all they know is weather, because Jen Delgado was reporting on Hurricane Matthews a few days ago when she was discussing the impact that the hurricane would have on Haiti, and she spoke on the lack of trees in the region. She informed us that areas in Haiti have been deforested, and she decided to discuss kids in Haiti's culinary preference. Okay, Jen Delgado was aware of a delicacy that kids in Haiti love that kids in Haiti weren't even aware that they loved.
Mm-mm.
Let's go to Jen Delgado on the Weather Channel for the report.
We're really concerned about Haiti. So we look at the area of Dominican Republic. You notice what's different in this NASA image. You see all brown here and then green to the east. That's because this whole area has been essentially deforested. They take all the trees down. They burn the trees. Even the kids there, they're so hungry, they actually eat the trees.
What? Uh-oh. What? Haitian massive, did you hear what Jen Delgado just said? Play the clip again, please.
No.
Play the clip
this
again.
This whole area has been essentially deforested. They take all the trees down. They burn the trees. Even the kids there, they're so hungry, they actually eat the trees.
Uh-oh.
That's crazy.
Jen Delgado, did you even hear the words that came out of your mouth? I would love to know your perception of Haitian people. What Haitian people have you spoken to? What have been your experiences with Haitian people to be able to hear and believe that Haitian kids eat trees? I can't speak for all Haitians because I'm not Haitian, but I got a lot of Haitian partners, and we have a proud Haitian that works here at the Mothership, the Breakfast Club. We broadcast live from Power 105.1 in New York. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Power 105 in New York, and we have a Haitian who works here named M-Easy. Sak passe?
Na boule?
Tell me how you feel about Jen Delgado, M-Easy.
Premièrement, pas gen Haitien qui mange pied bois. Secondement, m'ta crashé dans figil, l'anguet maman, l'marraine, tout bail comme ça. Haïtien pas manger bail comme ça. We're good people. And put some respect on my name.
I have no idea what you just said, but before you go, give me a oh. Now, please, everybody, can we stop these generalizations about other cultures, okay? If you truly don't know about other cultures and what they do, just shut the F up forever. And if you have questions about other cultures and you know people from that culture, before you just assume, ask questions. For example,
M-Eazy, it's been established you're Haitian, right?
Oui.
Have you ever eaten a tree?
No.
What did you have for breakfast?
Tree eggs.
Okay, now.
I see where that gets confusing.
Yeah,
I'm a little confused now.
I mean, just to play devil's advocate, she might have been in a McDonald's with a bunch of Haitians and heard them trying to order a number three off the value menu and got confused.
With the tree and
Maybe.
Nah.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Give Jen Delgado the biggest e-haw, please.
Shout out to all the Haitian people out there, too. Sa passe, maboule.
Yes. Haitian people get a bad rap sometimes.
They do, man.
That's a new one, too, by the way.
I never ate a tree.
Haitian kids eat trees? Come on.
I smoke some.
All right. All right, well, thank you for that donkey today. When we come back, ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you can ask her right now. She'll put you live on the air and help you with your problems. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Come on. That was Tupac with Keep Your Head Up. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now it's time for Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. What line you want to go to, Yee?
Let's do caller one.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up? It's Jay from Seattle.
What's up, bro? What's your question for Yee?
Man, my question for you is, I went in with my homeboy. He came up with the idea to get us paid.
Okay.
Uh-oh. We got paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it got time to actually do what we were supposed to do, he bitched up. So I went through with it.
Was this illegal?
Yes. Don't worry about that. So we went through with it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I went through with it.
Okay.
It took 2 years. Then the bag came. I got everything because it came in my name.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's looking at me like, and this is my best friend since third grade. He's looking at me like, all right, where's my half? He got to go on with his whole life, though. My whole life stopped for 2 years.
All right, here's my question. But y'all had a deal from the beginning, right?
The deal was it was just his idea. But
okay,
it
was half and half. That was the deal.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
so
he got to go on about
whether or not you feel like he did what he was supposed to do, y'all still had a deal. You wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for him. It was his idea.
So you think he gets half if he didn't have to take any, if he didn't have to sacrifice anything?
I would never do another deal with him again.
Well, this was illegal, Yee.
Okay, but he's asking for advice. I'm not,
You had to do 2 years in prison?
No, I didn't do no two years in prison. Just
he just had to go through with everything, and another guy pumped
exactly,
out.
Exactly, everything. And then I couldn't work. I couldn't go to job. I had to do other stuff to get. But he got to go on throughout his life.
Here's the thing. And just never do nothing with him again. I never agree with letting money interfere with a friendship. Sometimes it's not good for you to do business with your friends. And you just realize this is your best friend. Is it worth it for you to sacrifice not being friends with this person anymore over money?
I told him I'd give him 30%. I was like, man, okay, well, since I'm the one who actually went through with it, here, take 30.
And what did he say?
He don't want to talk to me. He was like, no, I'm cool, man. Nah, you're a sucker. Da-da-da-da.
Okay. I just think this. There's a lot of times I've been in situations where I went in to do something with somebody, and it's supposed to be half and half. Nothing illegal, though. But I do feel like a lot of times I carry my weight and do more work than the other person. But if we had a deal from the beginning, I still got to honor my part of the deal, but I'll just never do nothing with them again.
Not if it's illegal, though.
Well, listen, I'm just talking in general. Envy, you want to say something here, Envy?
I want to know what he did. What you do, bro? We ain't going to tell nobody.
Yeah, right. I listen to y'all every morning.
You know Envy telling. If anybody's telling, you know Envy's telling.
Yeah, look.
I got Waffle your back. Color. I'm not going to tell on you. I honestly feel like I'm going to do my part and always hold up my part of the deal. That's it. You went above and beyond. You could have chose to bitch out and not do it too.
But he didn't.
He moved the weight.
If
he did all the work.
He should have to split it.
But the last thing you want to do, I think, is have somebody mad at you over some money. Just give him his half.
So you think I should give him half?
Give him his half and
move on. You did something illegal. You wasn't supposed to do it anyway. It was his idea. You wouldn't have did it if it wasn't for him. You got away with it. You did some illegal-ish, and you got whatever amount of money. Give him his half. Don't do nothing with him again, and try to get right.
He might tell on your word. He's right.
It's too late. It's too late for that. I appreciate y'all, man. We love y'all.
It's too late for what? For him to tell on you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, don't worry. We have your number. We're going to find him.
All right. Love y'all, man. Peace.
Ask right. Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, even if it's illegal, call him now. She'll help you out.
I'm not going to tell on you. This is a safe haven.
Safe haven is the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Riri with Needed Me. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. What line you want to go to? Five. Hello, who's this?
Hey, my question is, what would you do if you have a person that you marry and been married to for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and you love them, but you're not in love with them? And it's also three kids involved, too.
Okay, so you guys have three kids. You've been married. You were in love at some point.
Not really. No. No.
So what made you get married?
I think that's what I needed. You know, I was getting a little older and, you know.
So
I
you settled. Like so for you, settling down means settling.
Exactly.
Okay, but you love this person, you care, you just feel like you're not in love. What do you want to feel? You want to feel like butterflies all the time, passionate love?
Yeah, something like, you know, like, I mean, we're very different people, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I'm a little hood and street, and she's like this square, you know what I mean?
So you guys balance each other out?
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, I felt like I needed that, something calmed me down. You
so
know
now you married her, had three kids with her, and you want to be selfish and go out and find somebody that...
No, I don't want to be selfish. It's just that I don't have three kids with her. She has already had three kids.
Oh, she had three kids, so you've been playing daddy to somebody else's kids.
Yeah.
Because you're married. You are the stepfather. I mean, listen, that's a difficult one because you're saying you were never in love. You just got married because you felt like that was what you needed.
Yeah, I mean, but they also needed me as well, you know what I'm saying, for, you know, stability. And yeah. I felt like that's what, you know, that I could provide for them and give them a better life. And at the same time, they could help me as well.
Do you feel like you would regret it if you guys weren't together? Because sometimes, you know, they always say the grass is greener on the other side. So yeah. You being in this relationship might make you feel like, man, it would be so much fun. My friends are running around single, having a good time. I'm stuck here with three kids married.
It's not that I want to be single. It's that I think I can do better.
Wow. You think you could do better?
Yeah.
And you've been feeling like this for how long?
Since we got married.
I don't even understand what you got married for in the first place. But I tell you this, I always feel like you're doing the other person a disservice as well to be with somebody that you're not in love with.
Yeah.
Just out of convenience. So we might think, okay, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. But I think not allowing them to find the true happiness that they want to find is also very hurtful. It's hurtful for you and it's hurtful for them.
My thing is, I don't want to... It's the kid.
Right.
That's my first concern.
Right, of course. And just because you guys aren't married or not living together or whatever anymore doesn't mean that you can't still be in these children's lives because they look at you as a father, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I don't think that ends that. But I will say that maybe you need to give it some time. I'm never against couples doing therapy to get to the root of whatever the issues might be and figure it out. If you feel like it's worth something that you could potentially salvage, I would highly recommend that you guys go into couples therapy because it might be some things you discover about her. So she.
I've already done that.
And it didn't. And you still feel this way.
Well, yeah. But I also feel like if I give it more time, maybe I'll end up falling into love. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, maybe what you guys need to do is reconnect. Maybe what you should do is do certain things like if you guys are dating and rediscovering each other again.
Okay.
And take it back to that because it seems like you never were really that into it from the beginning. I don't know at this point if you can possibly fall in love. I know it's happened for people before, but I would say, you know, give it some time if you feel like there's children involved, if you feel like she's a good woman, she's worth it, it has potential, and you need to really dig deep. I'm glad that you guys went to therapy and that you're making every effort possible because marriage is a serious business.
I know.
I feel like nowadays people get married, you know, they don't realize that this is something that's supposed to be permanent and forever. That's the plan.
Yeah.
And sometimes that does take some extra work.
You're right.
But
it's a lot of work.
So put in that work, and if you really, really feel like it's not salvageable, make sure you guys communicate always, because she deserves that.
You're right.
Good luck, bro. All right, last Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. Now, Yee, we got rumors coming up?
Yes, Halloween is coming up, and there's some crazy costumes that have been on the shelves. We'll tell you about one of them they actually had to pull. Also, Wale, what was he so mad about? We'll tell you why he went crazy on this woman, and it was all caught on video.
All right, all that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
This is...
just in. All the gossip. The rumor report. Gossip. With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Wale was leaving Bootsy Bellows, and I guess he got into a little bit of an altercation with a woman who blew some smoke in
his
face.
I feel him, too.
Yes. So this is how he handled it. This is what happened with the woman that he was... I guess he kind of was following her. She was going crazy, but we'll explain the whole situation. Here's a video of what the woman was saying to him.
Are you really following me? Really? Oh.
All right. Well, what happened? We had no idea until Wale called into TMZ. Here's what he said.
She said something like, you people are so disrespectful. Da, 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 da. And like, I don't know where y'all from, but where I'm from, like when you say you people, like it just enrages me. That's when I walked up to her and then she took a whiff out of the, I guess it's a vape thing, blew it in my face. She said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to hit a girl, dog. Like, what are you, like, come on, man. So I just smacked her food. You don't even deserve to eat. Rest in peace to your meal.
I'm not mad at Wale for doing that. I probably would have just cursed her out because it just looks bad on camera when you're knocking the girl's food out of her hand. It looks like you're almost assaulting her. In the era we live in right now where people can press charges and you get arrested for things like that, I personally wouldn't have moved like that.
I'm not mad at him. I mean, the way she blew smoke in his face is so disrespectful. I mean,
that's why you got your homegirl or your wife.
He had no homegirl there. He was walking out the club. She said, you people. He said, what do you mean, you people? All right.
Hey, man.
Food on the floor.
I feel like you should get a woman to handle woman business.
No
I
more
just
leftovers.
Cursed her out or something.
No more leftovers for you.
Yeah, but sometimes when things happen in the spur of a moment, I'm glad he didn't put his hands on her.
No, he didn't. He just smacked the food out of
her. He kind of did, though.
No, he smacked
the food
out of her hands.
That's what I'm saying, though. But people can watch that video and be like, oh, that's an assault.
That's not an assault.
I don't think it is.
That's
but
a stretch.
I've seen people
it's
get arrested
annoying.
For little to nothing. It was
we're
her. The food was in her hand. It was on her person. It was part of her. You hit her. You knocked it out of her hand. You arrested for assault.
Can't go that far.
All right. Halloween is coming up, and there's some Halloween costumes that are getting pulled from websites already. Now, Walmart and Amazon had to pull their granny men's costume, okay? It was basically like a transgender costume. It's I don't know if you guys saw it, but if you have Revolt TV, you can see a picture of what it looks like.
What's I look like my dear to me.
What's wrong with granny?
I look like my dear.
Well, Walmart had to tell the LGBT.
Oh, it's a trend? Oh, yeah. I just thought it was a granny.
So it's listed on some of their websites.
Oh, my dear is a transsexual? That's what you're telling me? My dear is transgender? Because that look like my dear to me. What's the problem? That look like Miss Doubtfire, my dear. What's the problem?
They can't even say that word. That word is disrespectful. You can't say that word.
So now they have it as a Manny Granny.
Now, if they had like a fake penis in front of the thing, too, then that's different. That's just my idea, Miss Doubtfire, right there. I don't see the problem. What's the issue here?
Right. So the description was, all the guys will be dressing up as superheroes and princes, but you will stand out among the rest in this hilarious granny men's costume. So people were upset about that. So that's why.
They should take all the clown outfits off the shelves. The way the clowns are kidnapping kids
clowns
and
are not funny
scaring
anymore.
The ish out of kids.
All right, Jake.
Clowns have never been funny, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't know who ever told
clowns have,
you
by the way, always been scary.
Clowns have
I don't
always
know if
been
you
creepy.
You guys saw Stephen King's It.
Clowns have always been creepy. First of all, you know what? I'm not. You know what? No, I am going to say. I'm a clown shame right now. Well, first of all, who grows up and says they want to be a clown? Think about that.
Not me.
That within itself is creepy.
It is kind
of okay?
creepy.
Okay? Grown ass men, and your occupation is a clown.
All right, now Drake had to postpone some of his upcoming shows in Toronto, Philly, and Newark, and that is because of his ankle. He posted on his OVO blog, he said, I hate to be told I can't do something, but under doctor's orders to allow me time to recuperate, I'm being forced to postpone the intense 3 shows in a row in cities which have only shown me unconditional support. So if you were going to go see him in Toronto and Philly, and he's going to do 1 show in Newark. He had 2 planned. The reason he's doing 1 is because he's never been there before, so perform there. So I guess he wants to make sure he makes good on at least 1 of them. But he did promise he will make it up to you and with new music and a stronger ankle.
He do know the summer 2016 is over, right?
He riding the wave, bro.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see when that show is. Okay, Beanie Sigel. Now, somehow Envy got his hands on
I don't believe this.
Beanie Sigel record. I guess it's a diss record.
Envy, are you sure this is a Beanie Sigel diss record?
He is going to play it in its entirety, but I do have a snippet for you for the rumor report.
I'm fucking with the Crypt Keeper, Grim Reaper. You just a tweeter. I'm the knock and the devil speaker. Stop, this bigger than Omeka. I wanted you and I, T.Y. Latifah. switch this hard flick double feature. See what you can do for money. My brother's keeper. A sucker way out is distilling. Face said, look him in his eyes for you killing. And you weak for real. You did that for Meek. You should have did it for Mills.
All right, listen, I thought the interview with Taxstone was entertaining, but we can't act like Beanie didn't come off as a complete jealous, envious hater who can't be trusted. And on that same podcast, he said he wasn't putting out any diss records. But now you telling me he got diss records?
Not just one.
What you mean, not just one?
I think there's
got one today.
It's a trilogy.
Then we got a different one tomorrow.
He was on Taxstone podcast praying to Allah and saying that's not how Muslims move, and he not putting out no diss records, and he gonna see him on the day of judgment, and now he got diss records.
Beanie Siegel is a rapper. You can't stop him from rapping.
Beans can't be trusted.
And he's spitting bars.
And that's this is Charlamagne talking.
This is DJ Envy Mixtape Days talking. These days back to spit. Don't you love the bars back?
I do love the bars.
That's
but
amazing.
I just want some consistency as a human being. You're in the studio with Meek. You're ready to go to L.A. in 3 hours. 8 days later, he's not real. He's a sucker. You're not making any diss records. Now you got a week later, you got diss records out. I just want some consistency as a human being. That's all I want.
Well, we got to have 3 consistent records.
All right.
Talk about.
Let's get into it. Hold on, because we got to end.
I don't like this little beige boy. I don't like Luke Beige over here.
Because
Luke Beige don't be liking to tell me stuff, okay?
What?
So you tell me he got 3 diss records.
Yes, it's 3. It's a trilogy.
He called me this morning. Do you remember when I was on the phone? That was
Beanie. He walked out the room.
He said he got 3 records. He said he's going to send one today, one tomorrow, and one on Monday.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee. And we get to your DJing.
Why you say
Mm-mm. Oh, you trying to be funny now?
What?
You said why? He said
No, see, you stupid. See, you start
wow,
saying.
Wow, Envy.
Now I'm talking about Charlamagne.
Like that, because it's just like I need some consistency as a man. It's like I said, Beans can't be trusted.
All
like
right.
He flip-flops too much.
But let's play the full version right now. Let us know what you think. Add us on Twitter, on Instagram. People's Choice mixes up next. It's The Breakfast Club.
Say goodbye to Revolt.
Oh, Revolt. See y'all later.